welcome to another episode of Salesforce Trails and Trials, where we help you accelerate your career and turn soft skills into hard money.
Just a couple announcements before we get into this episode. One, Terry wanted to make sure you visited the official Change Management Trailblazer group, and I've included a link in the show notes. And secondly, please join me in my school communities. They are linked down below in the show notes, school.com/ontheincline and People First Method. One helps you turn soft skills into hard money. The other one helps you make more money by solving your hardest technical challenges. Join us in there, get deeper engagement than LinkedIn can provide, and meet with me, as that's the primary form of engagement I will have back and forth with my followers. Well, welcome everyone to another episode of Salesforce Trails and Trials. Today, we're meeting with Terry Sinclair, and we're very excited to learn more about your journey. Welcome, Coach Terry.
Thanks, John. Glad to be here.
Well, I'm so excited because I loved meeting you at Tahoe Dreamin' this year, and we've been around the ecosystem for quite some time, but it was my first opportunity to really dig in and get a little picture of what it is that you do. And I was so intrigued because change management is such an underappreciated topic. And so I want to talk a little bit about, you know, your thoughts on that, but really I want to go back and learn a bit about what brought you to this journey and then the impact you're looking to make in the ecosystem these days, because boy, we need some positive impact these days in our community.
Absolutely. I think that, you know, you said the right word, community, because ultimately I started in the ecosystem really just because the economy was in the toilet and Salesforce was a new kind of new thing. This was 2009. And so a company that I was doing training for, they decided they were going to get Salesforce to help their salespeople increase their sales. And then they quickly realized the power of the CRM and everything that Benioff was building at the time. So they spun off a whole new company from the training company called Cloud Coaching International. And they said, hey, if you want to learn it, we are going to design some programs. And then that was the beginning. And I tried to go away. Well, I didn't try, but, you know, things happen and things moved and shifted, and CCI is no longer. So I took another job with another company, and it was just miserable. They didn't have any clue on how to pick a good CRM. And I just remember the Salesforce community, how great it is, and how Salesforce is so committed to learning and constantly improving. So I had to come back, and that was 2018, and I've been in ever since.
Wow. Well, we're glad to have you. So let's talk about, you got some letters after your name, PCC, CCMP, SCM, superstar. So help me understand what all of these mean.
Right? Yes.
Cue the applause.
I love star. PCC is Professional Certified Coach. That's the accreditation from the International Coaching Federation. Okay. And that's why I go by Coach Terry. And you know, being in training and development and being a coach, I was a coach for years. I still am. It just focus a little bit more day to day with Salesforce implementations.
Sure.
CCMP is Certified Change Management Professional. And SCM is Certified Scrum Master.
Okay, cool. Now let's go back. I want to go back very early. So, you know, for example, if you listen to a prior episode about Talia, who we both know,
yeah,
I asked her where she recognized the beginning of her kind of UX journey. And it was on the school bus when she would look at the seat in front of her and notice the patterns in the seat. Okay.
Right.
But I want to go back and I want to understand where did you first see that this aspect of whether it's technology or whether it's coaching or change management, you know, kind of the evolution of how people, like you say, you help turn disruption into direction, which I think is a really cool way of voicing that. When did you first kind of recognize that this is something that you were interested in?
I think I've always been drawn to technology and innovation. That's either, you know, whether you believe in astrology or not, I'm an Aquarius, you know, we're the like evolution, innovation, you know, sign. And I have always had a very short learning curve, so I can pick things up really quickly, which has allowed me to learn new skills. So I think that I was drawn to innovation that way very young. Then there have been some kind of turning points, if you will, over the years where I like to joke that I became a trainer because I like to tell people what to do. I think it's just that controller in me that, wants to have everything a certain way. So I'm very good at showing people best practices and teaching people. And then the coaching thing actually came in because I was traveling too much and I was on the road and I was burnt out and I was newly engaged and I decided that I wanted to actually have some time at home. So, and then I think with change management, when, for anybody out there who's a Landmark Forum graduate, I feel like there was a turning point that when I saw that I could create from nothing. And so change, I know we talk about current state, future state a lot, but also in with what Salesforce is doing now, especially with AI, we're seeing things being created new that people didn't think was possible. And I think that I really got fascinated by that art of the possible with my education with Landmark after. So that was in like early 2000s. Yeah. So it's been some steps.
Yeah, you've had a meandering path, which is super cool. Now, when you think about change management, I think it's a term that, especially in the mid-market and small business, it's not something, even like business analysis, right? Like these aren't terms that they use very often. And so maybe you can define for our listeners a little bit of how you understand, like, what is change management? And why is it important? Like what are they missing out on when they don't consider this? Or maybe they're doing some of this without actually talking about it and
Right.
can benefit by maybe thinking more clearly about it.
Yeah. So the analogy that is really easy to use is building a house. When you think about building a building or building a house, is you've got to start with that foundation, or else everything that you put on top of it is, at risk to fall, to be shaky, to, not work right. And so I agree. I do think a lot of small and mid-sized businesses and even enterprise are doing change management activities, but they haven't built the foundation. So some stuff might land right, some stuff might, it just depends. Another analogy or way to look at it is in general in life, it's hard to take in content without context. So if you think about a picture frame, you have the picture, but that frame like sort of brings it to life, right? Change management is a framework. So it is laying that foundation. It's like, what is the overall picture that we want to create? And then, inside are the content, all those steps, those activities, that's what we have to execute. But it starts with that vision. And without the framework, you may have pieces, but they just might not connect or align. There may be inconsistencies.
Yeah, so interesting. So let's break it down into a little bit of the, because sometimes people understand the, like they don't understand the thing, but they understand like the symptoms of the thing or not having the thing. So I'm curious, maybe you can share with us some examples you've had from your, kind of history here where when they didn't have it, here are kind of some results or some things that that kind of were undesirable outcomes. And then maybe a contrast of like, well, when it does go right, here are the things that they achieve that maybe they weren't even expecting.
Yeah, it's funny. There's a bunch of examples, right? Communications don't land. People aren't as productive. There's a lot of doubt and insecurity in the workplace when change is happening because people don't know how they're being impacted. Lack of adoption and leaders aren't following through. I mean, you can see these kinds of symptoms anywhere, right? If the change hasn't been adopted or hasn't landed with done what we pictured or what they wanted. But it was funny today, I got an email. Well, no, we had a meeting about Einstein Activity Capture, EAC. And this is one of the clients that I'm working on will remain nameless. And the meeting was to talk about EAC. This was a pilot group of users. And in the meeting, somebody attached a PowerPoint to the Teams and said, "Hey, these are our new activity requirements." In other words, as a salesperson, this company has said you need to do all these things. And they had this PowerPoint outline with screenshots from Salesforce and all this, right? And how to do it. And they said, "Will EAC meet these requirements?" And my team, the team I'm working on, the change team, we did not put this together. We had no clue that the business was creating this deck and having these requirements for their people. They haven't talked to us about, "Hey, can we use EAC or any other functionality in Salesforce to help our people with these activity requirements?" In other words, they're just doing their thing. And then we're over here that we could support them, but we're not talking. There's no framework. There's no process of, "Hey, business, we've got this team that can support you, and we want to use Salesforce to do that and make your lives easier." And so everybody's just, it's a lot of duplicative work that happens when the framework isn't there, a lot of redundancies, a lot of rework, of conflicts, misalignment.
Well, I love, we're highlighting now some of these kind of people first concerns, because what I hear from that and what I've understood as change management is it really takes the perspective. It tries to get into the vantage point of the user rather than the vantage point of, whatever the initiative is or the stakeholder or of the software. And really think about what's going to help them be incentivized to actually go through, right? What's the return on effort for them? What are the motivations, right? That messaging you're talking about kind of taps into that. And I love that aspect, especially now. I mean, this is a conversation you may remember from, whether it's Tahoe Dreamin' or Texas Dreamin' or Architect Dreamin'. One of the aspects I speak about is that it's there needs to be a roadmap for Agentforce acceptance before we ever get to adoption. Like, we got to be able to have conversations with people and let them get buy-in and let them give their dissenting voice. That doesn't mean they won't do it, but they just need to be heard and they need to be listened to. And now they can adopt and be like, okay, I get it. Thank you for hearing me out. I understand your perspective. So maybe you can share a little bit of that as you go through and think through change management and that messaging and really those people first concerns, especially given the pace of what we're asking people to embrace these days. And with AI being a unique product that kind of disrupts the social contract, right? It's different than like rolling out Visual Force or something, or rolling out dynamic forms. Nobody's concerned about their children when they hear about those features, right? So I'm curious, like, what is your perspective on? Do you see it that way as well, as it being kind of a people first concern? And is that something that, invigorates? Is that the reason why you're actually in this business a little bit?
Oh, sure. I think it's definitely fun helping people, create the change. See that this new thing is not only doable for them, but better than what they were doing before. That is amazing and definitely why I'm in it for sure. One of the payoffs. For AI, for Agentforce, there are a lot of myths, and for certain company cultures that haven't been used to being transparent with their employees, cultures where there have been layoffs traditionally for lots of things, or where just communication, all kinds of things, bad training, or non-existent training. I think people are there. Somebody said that people aren't really afraid of change, they're afraid of losing their identity. I heard that somewhere before. I think that definitely comes into play with AI because there are so many myths and people don't know, is it going to replace them or what are they going to have to do? So, yeah, there is that need for acceptance, like you say.
It's interesting. I was thinking about just thinking about that quote of without proper change management and really engaging people, there is a sense where people lose their agency. They feel nobody, no matter what their role is in an organization, nobody wants to feel like they're just an automaton, They're just
Right.
ready to be automated as soon as the opportunity arises. They want to feel
Yeah.
like they have some sense of agency, of contribution, of value add. And I know in my history of, touching 1,000+ projects, there's a mentality, you might have heard the phrase, right? Like we just need to give people the stick, like there's the carrot and the stick, and we need to kind of let them know that, it's take it or leave it.
Yeah.
And there's this aspect of, that people just need to get in line because this is the way it is. And don't you find it ironic that people would invest in Salesforce because it doesn't require you to conform your business to the software, and then to go about implementing a policy where they force their people to conform their behavior to the implementation? Isn't that bizarre?
I guess that makes sense what the way you're thinking about it. I don't know that I've ever heard that being a selling point that, Salesforce doesn't conform. I know that it's definitely a budget thing, out of the box is the best way to go. So it's sometimes you don't get all the customizations and things that people might be more attracted to.
Yeah, I
With
mean,
no
it's I find I mean I just find it rare. Do you find it common that people use Salesforce out of the box? I found it very uncommon.
Well, I think for that small mid, like the smaller mid-size, like you're talking about, do more. And I'm seeing more of a trend of it, even in enterprise, because Salesforce updates so much. And the more that you do, the more potential, technical debt you take on. So I don't know. I'm seeing a trend of it. Certainly, there are going to be customizations for requirement things, but I think I'm seeing more and more out of the box, I guess,
Yeah, interesting. Well,
with
it's
this.
certainly the product is maturing significantly, so that makes sense. So talk to me about you kind of have this duality where you focus on implementations, as you've talked about, and then you have these kind of coaching arrangements with a couple different organizations.
Yeah.
And just talk to me about, like what are these things that you're doing? Like, what are you motivating in people, right? What are some of the challenges that they're bringing to you to help solve?
Sure. I mean, a lot of the coaching that I'm doing right now through Growth Space is one of the platforms that I'm on. And, other than my personal clients, but they are a lot of the clients on Growth Space pick me, I think, as a coach because of the change management niche. And there are, a lot of companies going through change. So one of, without, making sure I protect confidentiality, clients are looking at changes that their organization is making, or they're looking at changes that they want to make, or they've been, put into a situation where they're expected to do more with less. And it's funny too, because one of the clients was telling, we came up with this whole system of how she could capture her notes when she goes on site to meet with people, and she's in HR. So she, she's got to do follow-ups with all the meet from all the meetings that she's had. And, with confidentiality, she can't really have other people help her with this. So it's a lot on her. And so we had this whole system worked out. She loved it and she was going to do it. And then our next meeting, I said, how's your the system? And she said, you know what? This new girl started and she's way younger. And she just showed me how I could put it into ChatGPT. And so I threw out the system and I started using AI and I love it. And I was like, that's great. But that wasn't even in her purview to think about because, tying the AI thing together. At a certain age, it's just that's not your habit to go to tech, where at other ages, people entering the workforce now, it's their go-to versus people that are older, it's not always their go-to. So it's helping people with all kinds of different issues.
Yeah, well, the generational kind of distinctions there are important, especially, I think the majority of businesses now have at least 4 generations working in them, which definitely adds some complexity, right? So I'm curious, as you think about like AI in particular, and that this could be Agentforce, it could be off-platform AI, whether it's Sierra or Crew AI, or there's all kinds of agents out there. Jitterbit has an agent builder. I mean, it's kind of the new thing, right? So I'm curious, from your perspective, where do you feel that change management, how critical is it when it relates to AI? And are there any kind of unique aspects that people should really think about when considering a change management process for AI?
Yeah, I mean, I think the standard framework for change applies. And on top of that, people have to think more about the myths because the resistance is going to come from things that aren't necessarily true. So people, you know, you might be preparing your risk analysis or preparing a resistance mitigation plan, and you have to think outside of what your brain thinks and think about what most people might think as myths, or ask AI to come up with the po most popular myths to help you with your mitigation plan. But bottom line, you can't just rely on your perception of things. Second is, you know, people, if you don't train them well, they'll go to other people, they'll get help, they'll find a workaround, right? They'll figure it out. But AI, if you change something and you forget to train AI, your whole s process is going to be toast because AI isn't going to go ask for other help. AI isn't going to know it needs to or that it is changing. So companies that are implementing AI need to not underestimate the value of change management, because if you don't have a format or a process for updating AI as you update and change your business, you're going to find a lot of things that you thought would work aren't working.
Interesting. Well, certainly that's probably part of the reason, the MIT study came out and said 70% of AI projects have failed to date. So that's an interesting connection to make there. And also, let's chat about, you just came back from a few events. Did you do any presenting at these events? And I'd love to hear some feedback, because certainly, right, the Salesforce community needs to do its own building, right? S Salesforce has had its own internal kind of dilemmas and some pullbacks as it relates to the community investment that it's historically done. And so one of my goals is to introduce people to some of these events and encourage them to go and visit them and gain some of the benefits that people like you and I have received. So I'm curious, maybe you can share a little bit of your recent escapades and adventures, and what you found beneficial for people to leverage.
Absolutely. I mean, the events are amazing and I love to go and speak at them. I did speak at Witness, which is Women in Tech. Witness Success is what it's called. And that was in Louisville, Kentucky, in o August. I did the same session there as I did for Mile High Dreamin' in Denver, Colorado, which was about mastering the art of saying no, framework for Salesforce professionals. Very well received in both conferences. And yes, you're right. Both conferences were attendance was basically half of what it had been in years prior. And it's, I do see the community pulling together though, because I think in times where things are a little bit tougher, I think that's when people really do come together. And so for me, it's attending these events is about getting the word out that I'm there to help, that there are change management resources. You know, we have our virtual community group, and that you don't have to do it alone, essentially. And then, you know, networking with people and hearing how they are and how everything's going. And then the conference I attended this week was Northeast Dreamin'. And yeah, their enrollment was also down, but I've heard more and more stories where companies are not paying for their employees to go anymore. They're not reimbursing them for money or travel or any of that. And it's making it harder for them to get to attend. So, you know, I'm fortunate that I'm Terry Sinclair LLC and I can do it, you know, and it's a business expense for me, but not everybody is that way.
Well, it's on that same topic, I'm gonna do a little support with the West Africa Dreamin'. So they have some growth over there, which is great. I'm not gonna be able to go in person this year, but maybe next year. My wife says that she would love to to check that out. So it's neat to see it growing around the world, and I think that we definitely need to invest in this community. These are some great examples. I'm curious, over the weekend there was a lot of news around Salesforce did or didn't do with these
Thanks for joining us
4,000
on another episode of
heads Mark
Salesforce
Benioff
Trails
called
and
them.
Trials. If you found this episode
And there'll be other
valuable,
people,
we would
right, with
love
their
your
own
help reaching
kids and
others.
needs
Please
and all of
subscribe,
that.
leave us a
But I'm
five-star
curious kind of
review,
where your
and share
thoughts
this
are
with
right
another who
now
would
as
benefit.
kind of the Salesforce ecosystem at large and the Salesforce organization. Given your kind of this people-first perspective around really thinking about things from the user's perspective, just curious to get your take on what's going on of late.
Well, you'll have to forgive me or explain to me later. I avoid the news, and so I haven't heard about the 4,000 heads, and that's a sad that it was termed that way. Certainly not very user-centric or human-centered, if you will. And as far as the state of the community, there's still a really robust community out there, and when a lot of the economic conditions that are happening in the country are impacting so many businesses, Salesforce included. And there's no doubt in my mind that they'll rebound and everyone will find their way. It just isn't the same path that they were on before. And now they've got to find, it's change. So new innovations, new trajectory, they'll figure it out. I have confidence.
Yeah, nice. So when thinking about back to this aspect of that, there's certainly benefits in the mid-market and small business as well as large organizations that haven't invested in this. What are kind of two or three questions that someone, maybe it's a program manager, right, a project manager, somebody who is thinking about like, this has never been a line item in my project before. I haven't really kind of planned about like what would it take, how much time does it add, does it require me to have a specialized resource? It kind of reminds me, I also have a user experience certification, and same thing, you have to kind of justify budget and the research and all of that. So I'm curious, what are a few questions maybe that people could ask among their own teams to start to at least lay the groundwork and socialize a bit more awareness about the importance here and how they can move forward.
Yeah, I am thinking quickly to remember what I wrote in an article that's on LinkedIn about the preview method is what I called it. And it's a really great blog basically about what are those questions? What do you need to consider? If you're looking at should you get change management, do you need to get change management, that kind of thing. And I had a nice little acronym going with the P, with for preview. But I think that
I sent you a
while
link to it there, right?
huh?
I sent you a link in the chat, right?
You'll
So,
send me a link to the I'll send you a link
no,
or you'll
I already did. No, I sent you a link. So
Oh, you did? Oh, you found
yeah, it's in the
it?
chat. So you
Oh,
have process, requirements, engagement, vision, issues, education, and wisdom.
great. Okay, awesome. So I think these are some of the things that companies need to think through, whether it's the project manager or the product manager. Are all the impacted processes defined? So many times people just think about what's in Salesforce, but Salesforce, there's handoffs, right? In and out. So what other systems are there? Where is there a manual handoff? And then for requirements, is everybody aligned? This is the biggest thing I see when I come onto a project and, one side of the business wants this and another wants that. And, if until you're aligned, as a matter of fact, we have a go live in less than 2 weeks for one of the apps that we're building on the client I'm currently working on. And today, the past 2 days, it's been all the conversation about how they neglected to realize that the parent account isn't correct for a lot of the under the parent, parent. So the accounts don't roll up correctly. Their data is wrong. So, oh no, here we are, in the 11th hour because nobody looked at that. closely enough. Yeah. So, I mean, I think that there are, but bottom line is there are a lot of things that you need to do in change management, you know, that framework. So if you look at who in the organization would be doing those activities, who is going to be responsible for all the communications, the messaging, getting this the buy-in from executives, et cetera. If then who's going to do the training? Who's going to handle all the logistics? Who's going to make sure people are ready? Who's going to make sure people are engaged? Who's going to write the FAQs? Who's going to build the place for users to go if they have questions? There's just so much. And until you actually kind of look at all the activities, you don't realize how much a change manager really does. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's interesting you mentioned that. There's a lot of communication aspects, and I just want
Yeah.
to call out something because, one of the business lines we have on the professional development side is, this people first method where we teach people how to turn soft skills into hard money. And out of that, we've done a bunch of research across 25,000 projects over 30 years. And usually it's number one, sometimes number two. The cause of failure there is poor communication. And I actually just found out from McKinsey that among these project failures, 17% of them actually result in the closure of the business. That the failure
Yeah.
is so severe that it ultimately leads to the business being closed or liquidated. And so I really want to emphasize what it is that you're talking about here, that this isn't really just kind of this ancillary, nascent, optional thing, that this
Yep.
actually might be, if you don't get it right, it might be the single largest cause of a project failure, which I was involved in a project years ago at a really big public media company out here in Los Angeles. And there wasn't buy-in from the team members, first of all, on why we were there initially. And then certainly moving on, the change management element, some people equate training with adoption, which is a big mistake. Just because people know how to do something, it doesn't mean that they're
They will do.
willing to do
Right.
anything, right?
Yeah.
And the win of go live was radically diluted with the loss of almost all of the team members. So as soon as they went live, everybody quit. And you think about the cost of that. That's one where technically, okay, somebody might define that as a technically successful deployment. But now taken holistically across the organization, that's got to be a massive net loss because the people that were not enlisted into making this work and being committed to it, they've now all left, maybe gone to competitors, who knows? But it's such a big oversight to miss out on this aspect of excuse me, of communications.
Yeah.
So
Huge.
keep going.
I said huge. You know, you're
Yeah,
right.
it's huge. Now talk to me about the wisdom aspect of this framework that you highlight.
Oh, okay. Well, you need to learn from, I mean, what you've done, right? So you don't make the same mistakes again. That's the wisdom piece, right? Is just like you would do us in agile, you know, there's sprint retrospectives. And so, you know, hindsight is 2020, right? Think about change as circular because just as one thing is ending, new things are starting. So you have to continuously be evolving, learning. Again, same why I love the Salesforce ecosystem. I think I have 11 certifications now. I don't even know how that happened. And because I don't configure anything, but I just feel like knowing it and is important because then I can put myself in the shoes of the users more easily when I know more about the system and what it can do. But yeah, I mean, it's just that learning. It's so important.
And
And
that
looking.
certainly takes there's a certain culture and values inside an organization that's
Yeah.
willing to have a retro.
Yeah.
That's the hard part is getting people where they're welcoming complaints, they're welcoming realistic.
100%.
right?
Thank you for the gift, right? Yes. Thinking of complaints as a gift.
Wow. So just given where we are, people are evaluating Dreamforce. Are you going to Dreamforce? And if so, what are you most looking forward to?
I am not going to Dreamforce this year. A friend of mine is renewing her vows and Italy. So I'm
Wow.
going to Italy instead of Dreamforce. But it's not because I don't love Dreamforce. I do. And hopefully next year, 2026. That's I've got my sights set on it.
Nice,
Yeah.
nice. Very good. Well, this has been a great conversation, and we really appreciate you being a part of the ecosystem. What you're providing here is really, really unique. So how can people reach out and get in touch with you if they want to talk further?
Absolutely. Well, find me on LinkedIn. Is it possible for me to give you when you post this, the QR code for the Change Management Trailblazer Group?
Yeah, I'd love that. So I'll just include it in the show notes. So I have that. I'm going to include this article on LinkedIn for you. And so you can share any links you want, and I'll put them in the show notes. And that's great. And I think maybe you can leave people with one symptom, one thing they might observe from a prior project or from a current project that would tell them this is something that change management might be able to help. Any examples?
Yeah, communication is first, like one of the things we were just talking about, and that's a biggie. So one symptom is when the same question is getting answered multiple times and when leaders have different answers to the same question.
Okay. That's good. Well, very good. Well, thank you for your time today. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you,
And my
John.
audience will very much appreciate this. I'm looking forward to seeing you at a Dreamit event soon.
Likewise. Take care.
Thanks for joining us on another episode of Salesforce Trails and Trials. If you found this episode valuable, we would love your help reaching others. Please subscribe, leave us a 5-star review, and share this with another who would benefit.